Good morning, Cody. How you doing?
Doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Good. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
I glanced through a couple pages there before you came in, but I don't think I got to the section you're looking at, so we'll see.
I got two of them here. One is totally non-PC, and the other is carries no luggage at all. Or baggage.
How appropriate.
Yes. So what? Moron and mug.
Moron and mug. Does moron tie back to a biblical phrase?
Yep. There we go. Okay. You have selected it. What's the origin of the word moron? The term is pure Greek, but was arbitrarily given to adults with mental age of 8 to 12 years old by Dr. Henry Goddard, classifying the mentality of subnormal people into three groups. Those with the lowest intellect would quite obviously be called idiots, okay, which I don't think has a technical reference anymore for us either.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle group, imbeciles, with the highest group needing a new name. So Dr. Goddard picked out of his Greek lexicon the word moron, meaning dull, stupid, silly, foolish, all of which he felt to be a perfect description of this higher functioning group. There you go. Well, now, what was the last time you heard the word imbecile? I can't.
No,
recall.
That's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
Thanks to spell check on the word processor, I wouldn't have any chance of spelling it correctly, writing it out.
Yeah. Well, an idiot, too. Okay, that's normally accompanied with a couple of choice adverbs and pronouns. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I bet you get to hear some of those at the airport, too, huh?
From time to time, yep.
From time
to time.
Are people getting more normal about air transportation now that you guys have got the Denver and the L.A. flights that aren't subject to as much of the goofiness out of SFO?
Yeah, I think they are. And when you look at the statistics, I think we touched on that before, the on-time performance for Denver and LA are certainly better than San Francisco, and the San Francisco factors are a lot of what can impact our flights in and out of here regarding on time or cancellation rates. So we've recognized that with the Denver and LA service, those improvements and been a part of their hub performance and those better statistics and ultimately better customer service to the folks here in Humboldt.
Less stress.
The air service and traveling, as you guys are well aware of, it can always be stressful, especially when you don't do it frequently.
Well, that's kind of novel. I see it as fun.
Yeah, I think it's a great time. But I'm, like you, I think we're both kind of used to it and do it fairly frequently. But for those folks that don't travel on a frequent basis or haven't in many years, it can be stressful. But The customer service agents out at our airport and the TSA folks, they're there to help you out. It's and hopefully alleviate some of that stress.
No, I mean the most stressful thing is getting the rental car.
Yeah.
Totally outside the purview part of the event. But.
Right. Yep. Go stand in line and sometimes hopefully not here at ACV, but when you get to some of the larger facilities, there can be quite an extensive line and sometimes a wait to get those keys and get on.
But
on
a lot
the
of times extensive lines mean extensive cars.
Yes, hopefully.
As long as you squeeze in it somehow and you can drive, you're okay. Yeah.
I have been to meetings before where I've had to beg somebody for a ride to the event, though. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, when the
being
the
a cheapie car, or?
Nope, when the cars are out. So.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't make the reservations for the vehicle?
I now have a staff member that can help me with that. Talking to you a year ago, if that wouldn't have been the case, but now I have a couple folks in the office that help out with that. But that wasn't due to anything they did incorrectly. Just where I was at, they were out of cars.
Just weren't there. Yeah.
Yep.
With some of the issues that we've had in China. And the quarantines and that kind of stuff. We hear a lot about the ships and the boats, and I know a lot of the airlines basically stopped servicing the country. There seems to be an urban legend, or maybe it's an urban truth, about getting colds from flying on airplanes because the air is being recirculated over and over. If it misses you the first time, it's going to get you the 14th time.
Right.
Truth to that, or is that just kind of foo-foo?
You know, I don't have the statistics in front of me, and shame on me for not preparing properly for that question. I should have known on that line was coming. But, you know, I've myself have caught colds traveling, and you do see as you're departing the plane when you get to San Francisco, Denver, L.A., they're on board. Staff and sometimes ground crews are coming on board to help clean that airplane, but there's only so much you can do. There's literally hundreds, sometimes thousands of people going through that airplane in a single day, and there's a lot of germs that are entered into that environment. You can't take care of 100% of them, so I try to just be cautious when I'm traveling. Make sure to bring the hand sanitizer with, and
don't kiss strangers.
No, none of that. None of that.
Yeah, the little squirt bottles. Now, I suppose, do those get confiscated?
No. As long as you're under the TSA threshold, the 3.4 ounces, so travel
great.
Size.
So is that the small little size?
Yep.
You're okay with that?
Yep, just the travel size, whether it's that or your beverage of choice that you're helping.
3 ounces?
Yes, to keep that cold away. Whatever.
Oh, I was thinking something entirely different that's often found on airplanes.
Grandpa's old cough medicine, yeah, I think is the phrase.
Yeah. Where's that cart? KINS, the News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Raggetts from Humboldt Airport.
Yes.
The name that will never stick. You mentioned TSA a little bit earlier, Cody, and certainly those folks have had different missions as the years have progressed. Is there a settling down of what they do and what their responsibilities are and how they fit into the FAA and everything, or is it still kind of at the whims of the politicians?
Politicians do get involved, like with anything on the federal level. But I think overall the politicians do a good job of letting the Transportation Security Administration do what they've tasked them with doing in protecting the traveling public. And the TSA agents that we have here, they have great leadership locally. We also, as an airport, work with their team out of the Sacramento office, who works
with regional.
Yep, they work with airports all across this region. They've been a great group to work with, and you know, we develop our airport security program here at a local level. To comply with all of the TSA regulations.
What's the biggest surprise that most people have if they're unfamiliar with the background of TSA?
Well, I think the biggest misnomer on TSA is that, you know, the folks out there at the checkpoint that are screening passengers and baggage, that they're in charge of security of the whole airport.
Not just the conveyor belt?
Right. That's actually not the case. As I was mentioning, our airport security program, or ASP, that's something that we develop at a local level, and it's approved by the TSA, but the airport itself is in charge of the overall security of the facility. Those folks that passengers are interacting with, whether it's for baggage or their own screening, they're in charge of just that, the screening of passengers, the screening of baggage. So, getting back to it, it's really a team effort. You know, we're working at a local level with the federal regulators to ensure that everybody's safe that's utilizing our facility.
Now, you've also got deputies.
Yes.
Strolling around, or
yep.
former deputies.
Yep. Yep, and they're identified, and they're a part of our security approach. So
everybody kind of holds hands on that.
Yeah, no, they work great together. The screeners and our deputies that are out there, but obviously the deputies are there to serve a purpose as well, and help ensure that everything's running smoothly and there's no hiccups in the screening process, but also with the whole facility to ensure nothing's going on.
So what's going to be the biggest surprise? Let's say by August 1st, are we going to see anything significant? Is that planning stuff? Because I know you got a bunch of stuff in the mill, so to speak, but I don't think you're going to have a new parking lot by then.
No.
Okay.
That yeah. won't.
Or new paint all over some of the smaller airports. Yeah, I mean, there's still some reasonableness. What would me or Winston see?
The biggest thing from the traveling public's perspective is I think we're going to continue to see more and more passengers come through this year. Last year in 2019, we had our best year on record since 2010. We had in excess of 172,000 passengers through the terminal. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, from your perspective or Winston's perspective or anybody else that's utilizing our facility, you know, it is still a small airport. There are conveniences associated with that, but just remembering, hey, I have to check a bag. I should probably be there more than 45 minutes in advance of my departure. You know, getting there an hour and 15, hour and a half ahead of time, like the airline recommends, to check that bag, to go through the process. There's just going to be more going on with more passengers coming through.
More passengers, does that equate to more staff from the airlines or more flights?
The airline has been staffing up, and you know, we have seen some intermittent growth already with Denver as far as seat availability. They have interjected at times the 70 and 76 seater on that route.
Oh, it'll just kind of show up?
Well, they select certain days where they anticipate higher demand.
You may have notification, but regular guy, right. All of a sudden we show up and it's a little bit bigger plane?
Typically, you'll see it when you're booking, but sometimes they do switch it out afterwards. But they try to keep it, you know, planned ahead of time, and that's something that they do at, you know, United and SkyWest headquarters as far as those whole planning efforts. But it's intriguing to see, because that leaves open further growth into that Denver market. We saw the same thing take place a couple of years ago when LA started with a 50-seater, then it was jumping up to a 70 or 76-seater, and then shortly thereafter, they interjected 250-seaters, so we went from one departure a day to two. You know, hopefully we'll follow that similar path with Denver. And of course, we already have a few meetings set up throughout the year to try to find new routes to other locations and potentially with other partners as well.
Without giving up anything that you shouldn't. Ha ha. different destinations?
Yes.
Or different carriers?
Potentially both.
But we've heard that one for 30 years.
I know.
Is it easier for the existing just to add another, like Salt Lake, for example, or Seattle, just based on where the people are going?
Yeah, it's a little bit convoluted because, and I'm not trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth to you here, but if it was Salt Lake or Seattle or Portland.
Or maybe Phoenix. I mean, it seems like everybody's moving to Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix is another one on hopefully out there as a potential. But those markets may be served with SkyWest or another regional carrier, but it might not necessarily be under the United flag.
It's not enough.
Right.
To get there.
If it was Phoenix, it might be American. If it's Salt Lake, it might be Delta. Seattle could be Alaska or Delta. And SkyWest flies for all
dropping
of
all the brands like you know them. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Who Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogetz, Director of Aviation for the County of Humboldt. He's not just the manager of the airport. He's directing. Oh, you mentioned the stats earlier. You're pretty pumped about that. What about the financial stability? I know that was certainly the two are linked together, but there are opportunities, there are costs not associated with the commercial flights that you've got. I mean, we saw the guy do the face plant with the airplane with UPS at Murray.
Mm-hmm.
You go out to Murray Field, it kind of looks a little rough on the, well, no, it looks rough on, around the edges and stuff, but you see that FedEx is flying out every day and so is UPS. And you go, okay, now wait a minute. You would think that there would be an opportunity, maybe like what we see taxiing at SFO or Denver or anywhere else, where you see fleets of these commercial guys, that there could be something specific out here. Is there some of that kind of general stuff starting to kind of fall into place?
Yeah, going back just a little bit, you know, we've been in the news a little bit lately on financial topics and particularly tied to our leases. And really that's how we generate revenue for all of our facilities is leasing space out to users, whether it's SkyWest Airlines or FedEx feeders or UPS feeders or, you know, Brian
Bob
with his,
Smith.
Yeah, Brian, yeah. Brian with his four seat, you know, Cessna 172. We have agreements with all of those folks, and going through that lease and appraisal process and really redeveloping how we do things as far as the business aspect of the airports, I think will lead to more opportunities, and it will certainly help us long-term figure out where we'll be financially and do some long-term planning to address some of the infrastructure needs that are out there.
Is the projection an up one, a flat one, a decline? What kind of general direction right now, you know, what's serving as the prod?
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, internally, we're really excited because of, I had mentioned to you off air, the, you know, new staff that we brought on board. And adding two new office staff members full time has helped us organize and really start to try to run this like a business, which is the long-term goal that the board has for us. In doing that, we've already improved the financials year over year. You know, as you're aware, the county's fiscal year runs from July 1 to June 30th. Sitting here with you today, we're already over what we collected the entire year of 18-19 in annual revenue.
And because of the increased air passengers?
That's part of it, but it's also with the staff in sending the bills out in a timely fashion. You know, if you
things just weren't getting delivered.
Yeah, there was really a multitude of factors, but a lot of it was due to lack of staffing and not having everything organized to run the airports like a business. So we've already addressed that internally. We continue to progress on that front, but the lease and appraisal process will help us take the next step and really structure things for long-term success, hopefully.
The concessionaires, the businesses that are located,
businesses
whether it's the folks that run the parking or the food concessions or the car rental guys, do they amount to much revenue for you folks?
Yeah, they really do. It all adds up, Brian. The airline is obviously our biggest revenue generator, but there's a lot of aspects at ACV that are tied to the airline success. The parking lot is a huge revenue generator for us, well into the six figures on an annual basis. the rental car companies are a huge revenue generator for us, well into the six figures on an annual basis. So the success that we're seeing with the increased passenger traffic through our facility leads to, you know, greater revenues in a lot of different areas.
If Humboldt State's enrollment was where it historically has been, say plus 1,500, plus 2,000,
mm-hmm.
a percentage of those kids fly, a percentage of those kids' families will fly to come in. With the parking as it is now, with the capacity loads as it is now, could you handle the school's enrollment being at that level, or would it really kind of necessitate another incremental plateau of growth and costs?
With growth always comes cost, I'll say that. But where we're at right now, as far as our annual passenger traffic, that's only a positive as we continue to plan for the future. If we can continue to show this growth, then we can show, you know, the FAA and other folks that we work with in obtaining grants to make those capital investments and partnering with them that, hey, we have this growth currently. We anticipate that to continue into the future. And then all of a sudden we can make those investments as a group to grow the infrastructure to serve those needs.
Just imagine if we got an industry in here.
No comment.
Don't have to. That was mine. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning. Ooh, Birdman. Birdman of Humboldt. Ooh. What do you guess? Director at ACV and all the other county airports as well. Cody, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, there are areas that are robust, areas not so robust. Infrastructure is part of that. I guess that's part of that Field of Dreams reference, even though it feels very uncomfortable at this point. But
if
okay.
you build it, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So you look at the airport, and let's use McKinleyville as the reference. Is it built for growth? I mean, can you have, I think you probably still get a lot of questions about restaurant, even if it's just a lunch coffee shop, not a fancy, just some place where you don't have the prepackaged foods or super sugar.
Yep.
Just somewhere. Mm-hmm. Is that just not in the cards anymore? Is that of the past rather than of the future?
Sure, sure. Great question. And I very much appreciate the Field of Dreams reference, even though that's kind of a tough topic on what you and I are talking about. It is my favorite movie of all time, so I do
that.
And
Big Chill.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, absolutely. But as far as the restaurant or other things that may have been there in the past, you know, I'll go back to what we were talking about earlier with that lease and appraisal process. Part of the goal of that project is to look at, on an airport-by-airport basis, what our potential is for that growth from a business aspect. And at ACV, to answer your question, there's a lot of area that is developable around that facility on airport property. And the restaurant is an area that could be redeveloped, but what are the costs associated with that? And is there any way to recapture those investment costs? As you're aware, the county's going through an ADA consent decree and addressing a lot of ADA issues, and the restaurant in particular, there's some of those ADA things that are or matters.
Could you just go in and take it down to the studs?
You could
say, okay, leasehold improvements, whoever it is, you're going to get a low ball. We don't want to mess with it, but it's there for you, and the elevator works.
Yeah, you could. The elevator does work, but there's still work we need to do to address ADA compliance with it. And it goes beyond just the elevator. It goes to the parking lot and the path of travel to and from that public facility. So
we get back to the parking lot.
Yep, yep. There's a lot of it's not just one issue and all of a sudden a restaurant can be developed in that space. There's a multitude of things that need to be addressed for that particular space or other spaces. So the thing that's exciting for me, though, in looking around the airfield is all the space that hasn't been touched. You know, you look along Central Avenue on the east side, there's a lot of space that could be either developed or redeveloped around the terminal as well, with infrastructure that dates back to the military's presence in the 40s, 50s.
So are you thinking that might be an area of expansion for the private guys to be able to just rent? And there's a whole additional slot?
It certainly could be, and that's where we'll look at, you know, what are our options in this lease and appraisal process? What could we do to expand general aviation?
So it's kind of a brainstorming process. It's not just grinding numbers.
Right, exactly. And we can do that at each particular facility to see what would be the best bang for our buck on investment in infrastructure to lead to that development each airport.
Right now, if you could, let's say, choose three mm-hmm. that have the greatest potential to get an ROI so that you could then do some of the other work that needs to be done, which ones?
Number one, I would say looking at the terminal and the area around the terminal. We're about to open our new aircraft rescue and firefighting, or ARF, facility there at ACV here in the next couple months. And there's a lot of area around that could be developed for a lot of different purposes, but, you know, development nonetheless for the general aviation side and improving our services to all users of ACV.
You drug it out, so you only got one. Sorry. We're done. See everybody tomorrow.
Thanks.